elevate.
So, welcome to the Elevate Podcast. This week on the podcast, we're missing Seamus Fox, which is probably a good thing, although we did send a message through from Australia that I can't read out on air because he must have been half steaming when he sent it. But this week's podcast, we've got Aaron O'Neill, the champion of muscle building. Okay, that's what we're going to call you. This is what you're doing as. And instead of Seamus, we've actually brought on the big man himself, Justin Black. He's the producer. He's going to be firing some questions as well at Aaron, and we are going to talk about all things muscle building on the podcast. We have been sent a few messages in and a few questions in that we're going to actually direct towards Aaron on this. And you know what? I'll get you to introduce yourself, Aaron, instead of me introducing you and blowing smoke up your ass. So if you want to just tell us a wee bit about yourself and what background you kind of came from.
So for those who don't know me, my name's Aaron O'Neill. I'm a personal trainer and an online coach. Kind of specialize in body composition and physique development from the ages of 24 to 35. So just general fat loss, right through to people looking to get really lean for a photo shoot. I kind of, if you follow me on social media, you know, I kind of just speak my mind. I don't really hold back in things I say, you know. Yeah. So kind of the last 10 years, kind of went to, dropped out of school, went to tech, done the sports studies.
Why is all PTs dropouts, sir? Every PT we get on, it's like, what happened? Oh, well, I just had nothing else to do, so I became a fucking PT.
Yeah.
I was like, right, okay, that's good.
I like lifting weights, so I was like, fuck this, I'm going to go to...
I like dumbbell. That's what I put on my application form. I like dumbbell.
So I didn't have to wear a uniform in tech either. You know, the blazer was always too big on me, you know, until about 4 years ago.
You discovered test.
Sorry, go ahead, bud.
So, went to tech, done the BTEC, and then went that route into university, done a bachelor's in sports science, done 2 years, and then dropped out to become a personal trainer.
Here we go.
I know. My parents thought I was mental. You know, it was a mixture of a bit of luck, good timing, and the way I went about it, and I just jumped in the deep end because I really nothing to lose. I was fucking broke.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, so it was a necessity to become probably good at personal training.
I was that broke I couldn't even afford to have bills.
Yeah,
you know, I was that fuck-like,
that's broke. That's fucking broke.
Proper broke.
So. You know what? I think it's everybody's mum and or parent or whatever always says. You know, when you become a PT, it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. What the fuck are you doing with your life, son? What has happened? And then all of a sudden, especially with me anyway. And saying that, I was a bouncer first and then became a PT. So it was kind of like, well, that's a big, big step up. Sorry for all the doormen out there that I'm still friends with. But anyway, she was worried at the start. And then clearly, as she's seen things take off, now I'm kind of a big deal. you know, I've launched into the stratosphere of the waterside. She's really supported it. And she's like, it's a great move. And I'm sure your parents are probably the same.
Yeah. Never take your parents' advice because they always want to keep you safe.
Of course they do. Yeah.
But you kind of have to get out there and find it for yourself.
And that's it, feel
forward as such.
Yeah, and it's proper order too.
Yeah.
And basically you just find a love for the gym and build a muscle clearly.
Yeah. Like I was always bullied as a kid for being small. So I always kind of was
But you're still small.
Yeah, I'm still short as fuck. Like, I'm never going to grow. So I'm just kind of growing outwards now.
Yeah, I see that.
You get a bigger car soon.
I was going to say that too, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I just fell in love with the process, you know, and I was always kind of into being fit and athletic. And
what background did you come from in terms of that? Did you just go straight on the gym with no kind of sport?
I was always kind of, you know, obviously when I was younger playing Gaelic and football, around the country, you know, some form of ball sport. But from the age of like 14, it was like, you know, boxing and then get into like kickboxing.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave me a bit of discipline and kept me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was always obsessed with like Mike Tyson at the time and Arnold.
Yeah.
And just how the fuck these guys were like,
I get so much
huge, like, you know, so powerful.
Yeah.
And I was about 21. I was at university, so I kind of had a decent amount of knowledge before really getting into the bodybuilding because I got injured with kickboxing. I broke both my wrists, not at the same time, so I can still wipe my own ass. All right, so I wasn't like, you know, unbelievably good at it, but I was like competitive with it and was good fun. But I needed something else to kind of fill that void, so just get into bodybuilding just simply because, you know, I was always into nutrition and training, and you know,
it just seemed like a natural progression to go
So, and I didn't know I had the like pretty good genetics either. I actually didn't have a clue. I was like 57, 58 kilo when I started training.
Jesus, man.
What? Yeah. Don't lie.
I was
really?
Like 21. That's Jesus. Well, 6 years ago, 6, 7 years ago. And then, well, now I'm 90. I haven't weighed myself in a few weeks. I don't weigh myself all the time. I just go by the mirror, really. Yeah. But
must be people don't recognize you when you're out walking around the town and stuff.
Yeah,
no?
I can only grow a beard until like 3 years ago as well.
Jesus,
late bloomer, you know.
Jesus,
went from a solid 3 to like maybe a 7 now. So life is good.
I've maintained my 8 for my whole life. So
consistent. That's what you want. Consistency.
You know what? Just in saying that, from the childhood thing, I kind of, it's just flashbacks of when my first kind of experience with the whole muscle side of things was and that's fucked up because I can't even remember yesterday. It was a newspaper article in the Sun, which is an amazing newspaper, always tells the truth, and it was Lou Ferrigno's diet and the Incredible Hulk. So I used to watch the Incredible Hulk when I was young. I don't know if you
Like 100%,
the original one, like, and Lou Ferrigno was the Incredible Hulk, and it was his diet, and it was his fucking, it was this like chicken, full chickens, it was just a list of food, and I was like, wow, that's, you know, it was my first insight into the nutrition of a bodybuilder. And he, well, he was the epitome of bodybuilding there back in the day. Him and Arnold, obviously. But that was my first fucking association with, right, food is important to build muscle. You know, you always had just in your mind that it was weights and all the rest of it. But what was yours? When did it really impact? When did you start putting it into practice? And what was your goal whenever you did start?
When I was 21, I just kind of took it really serious. Because I needed something. I always took my training serious from a young age. You know, it was pull-ups in the bunk bed and push-ups on the floor, you know, listening to Scooter. And it was like,
you
know, so I know it's terrible, like, but I was a kid, come on, give me a break. So like 21, when I actually started, I just got into it and I just got really obsessed with it.
And then it became like the competition side of things? I
was always on YouTube watching, you know, like old videos of Arnold and stuff. I just like, I'm a wee bit of like science nerd sometimes kind of in the background, but I just like it as an art. Like, I'm like, how these guys can manipulate their training and nutrition to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted that. I was like, fuck, I want to be jacked. You know, I want to build towards that. And
you've done pretty well, like.
Yeah.
What weight are you now, by the way?
I think I'm like 93.
Jesus.
In around that.
Jesus.
So you were 56.
Mental, that's
50. I think I was like 57, 58.
Jesus. Man, that's some amount of muscle mass to put on. Like.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I put on a lot of weight as well, just saying.
Yeah, we'll not talk about that right now.
Hey, I'm not tensing.
Neither's Aaron.
Never.
So what then led to doing the competition?
I was around. Like, yeah, okay. In the personal training world, you know, back, you know, the industry is completely different now than where it was 6 years ago.
No,
like,
totally. It's transformed.
It's completely changed. Mm. And I was still a young guy, I was still naive, and... You know, I was like, I don't even know why I got talked into competing. I actually never thought I ever would be slapping tan on me.
I'd done
XFS. You know?
Did, aye.
And didn't like it. Didn't like competing. No. I haven't competed since. No. I really haven't. But I love the process of building muscle, of
the science behind it.
The
really,
science behind it, and just an art. I like to look good. Don't get me wrong, but it's how you feel. Like, I feel fucking. It's not even how I feel because of how I look. It's how I feel just because I put my body through that.
Yeah.
Put my mind through that. You know, it's like a...
Well, it's a fucking dark place to do a show. You know yourself.
Yeah, it is. It's
doing
not...
the show, the process.
It's not glamorous.
And, you know, I
What's
have
this?
Obviously
Sorry?
Stepped away. Shows, competitive, like,
yeah, see,
physique
I,
shows.
Now I would have trained and stuff, but I don't know anything about shows. Is that a stressful part of your life when you're coming up to a show?
It is a fucking dark... There's a cloud that follows you around, man,
really?
For the last 3-4 weeks of the process, 100%. You're literally... You're watching every minute on the clock. If there's a clock up on a wall, you're watching the seconds tick down until you get on that fucking stage.
Jesus, really?
It is probably... No, it isn't probably. It's the fucking hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I won't ever do it again. And I have nothing to do with the process now. XFS is no longer mine.
Yeah.
So it's just something I've stepped away from. But I used it as a tool and used it to grow. And it has shaped me. And I'm able to empathize with people along their journeys. But it's just not me. And it's not something I promote now because, well... The negative aspects of it, however, I can appreciate how tough it is for someone to actually go through the process. And
yeah, I agree. Personally, I like people that keep asking me, "Are you competing?"
Yeah,
because I'm kind of in off season at the minute. But off season to me is just in a gaining phase. And I just do it for, again, I learn more about myself every time I do it. So people are like, oh, you competing in next year and all. I actually was considering it with, along with, you know, a few of my mates, because an IFBB show coming up, and I was like, fuck, you know, if I was going to do it once, I would, you know, actual bodybuilding, not physique.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I would do it right. But I just, I don't know, I've got more into the actual coaching side of it, and I just do it for the fun. They would actually take the fun out of it for me.
Yeah. And in terms of the coaching side, are you doing show prep, or what are you focusing on now? Like, if what's your demographic?
General physique development.
Right. Okay.
So it can be from anyone just looking to get good for holidays, just, you know, look good naked.
Yeah.
Right through to someone to get really, really lean for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Getting photo shoot lean and competition lean is different. And there's a lot of grey areas when it comes to comp prep.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not afraid of the drugs. People don't talk about this, but it's a grey area.
Just in case you're wondering, folks, who's talking about steroids here, we're not talking about recreational.
Yeah. Just to clear that up.
Just steroids.
But it's a grey area in every sport, though.
Yeah, of course.
People don't realise this. You know, if you look at the Olympics, if you've seen the film Icarus, you know, with the Russians.
Yeah,
they done wrong, of course, but they were just a scapegoat for every other country who was involved. Rugby players, you know, chicken hasn't got more anabolic in the last 30 years.
But they've got bigger and stronger.
Yeah, a lot bigger and stronger. Yeah,
their methods, obviously, are improving.
That only takes you so far.
Exactly.
You know,
but you know what? Probably a good topic to start with in terms of the gear thing. What can you do a show naturally? Have you seen people do it naturally? How much do you think it affects you as the other one?
Well, take a glass of Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah.
Glass of Coke, it's just a glass of Coke. You add tequila to that, it's a completely different drink. Yeah. Same with a person. If you take a person, they're natural, but if you add a bit of vitamin D.
It's a good analogy.
You can see different. The difference. I would see on YouTube sometimes
from a general pop perspective then, Justin, what are you, do you think, when you look at Instagram, are you thinking these people are all natural? Are you thinking, if you've seen someone like Aaron, if you've seen someone like Aaron and you've seen his Instagram, would you think straight away steroids?
He's wearing a black top at the minute, so it's kind of hard to tell. But no, I wouldn't say he looks unnatural at all. But I think in the competitions when I've seen natural versus gear driven or unnatural, there's a definite difference.
Yeah,
you can definitely see the difference.
But do you consider maybe that from a perspective of body fat? Are you thinking that someone's really super lean, that steroids getting them super lean?
No. I think when they have no neck at all.
So we're doing this on a no neck count.
None. Except for Tyson. Mike Tyson gets away with it. Just the look when you would see a lineup of guys that were natural and guys that were unnatural.
Yeah.
I can see a difference. That would be it. I wouldn't have a sort of preference either way.
Yeah, okay.
So
what's your thoughts on the whole Instagram thing? Let it out.
Just vent. It's full of shit. It's just full of, people are so full of shit. You know, if you're taking something, just say it. Don't go take things and then promote some fucking supplement that you get a 10% discount on or commission on to push it on to. If you are a coach, your clients, you're unethical and you're a prick.
Yeah.
Or just your followers, you're also probably a bigger prick.
Yeah, you agree with you.
I just think, you know, it's so full of shit. It's usually these fake celebs, they go on Love Island for 1 week, they get kicked out, and then they're promoting a fit tea, and I'm like,
100%.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, who was that's it?
That happened this week, actually.
It happens every day.
And it was with Cardi B, I think it was.
Was it? Right,
and
well.
She'd
Cardi B, the singer.
Is she?
Is this a gray area?
The bird. She makes the bird noises.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Smoting
smoting bird feed. I think it was a Slimming Tea or something.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And whatever way she was using it, putting into play, it was clear that she hadn't actually used it.
Yeah.
And it was massive on Twitter for that. You know.
Yeah,
And that's what I mean. I'm the same. If I'm looking up a bodybuilder. And he's telling me, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. But he's pumping test and Mastron and Trend and all that stuff.
The problem is people are believing it. It's fucking hard to believe someone's actually going to pick up a fucking cup of tea and think that they're going to get skinny from it. But people do believe it. And it's obviously from the market and everything else. And the fact that someone isn't coming out and saying, listen, I'm jacking test every fucking second day here to get into this shape. Now, my problem with coming out with the steroid thing was I didn't want to come out and say I was taking gear and actually lead younger people into taking gear. If I put a picture up myself and said, you know, here was my cycle for this, I didn't want someone to go and then talk about the negative aspects of steroids. I didn't want someone to go, fuck that, I didn't hear any of your negative shit you're saying. All I see is a picture of you in great shape, and I'm going to do whatever you've done. And that was my issue about going on social media and saying, here's what I took and it's blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of trying to do it in a roundabout way, talk about it and say like the negative implications of it.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what? It isn't, and I don't even want to, I'm afraid to say this, it isn't all negative either. Like, you can do it quite safely and stuff, but I would never come out and promote that. And I know I've said it in a fucking podcast now, but I really believe that there's people that's addicted to this stuff, and it's and it can fucking lead them to make some really bad life decisions.
Yeah,
And it's, and the negative aspects, almost for me, it outweighs, you know, the positive.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're a young guy, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because
what age? What age would you say?
Well, until you can actually grow your own fucking beard, you know. There's guys like, you know, there's young fellas.
So 45 for me then.
Yeah.
I'm still trying.
I think it'd be interesting to see what effect it has on the. The idea that, was it 25, the brain finishes fully developing?
Yeah.
I mean, there's argument to be had about that as well, isn't there? Is it 25, 23, something like that? Even with, like, some marijuana.
Yeah.
Should you have it before that age?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it maybe, it'd be nice to see what the...
Well, I don't know, the hormonal response probably is much different in terms of the impact it has in the brain, but...
Well, what, you have serotonin and dopamine being produced by your marijuana as well, so, you know...
But my thing is, and you're probably just about to say, why the fuck would you ever take it unless there is an end goal that surpasses the fucking negative implications of it?
Yes, yes.
And that's still a fucking debatable thing. Like, it's just one of those things that people are coming in the gym, maybe training for a year, not even, and then straight away they're asking for the answer to their muscle dreams of their dream physique.
And it's very short-lived. It's
fucking massively short-lived. And see anyone turns around to me and go, no, no, please, I want advice on it. And I say, obviously, I'm turning people away. I don't give advice out on it anymore. I don't want any part of it. But they say to me, listen, I'm only going to take a six-week cycle. And they say, can I stop you there? I know fucking very little people that's ever taken gear for 6 weeks and never took it again.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen like that. You are on it. When you come off it, you usually lose all the gains.
You want to go back on.
And you're going to go back on because that's what you now get known for, the guy that has decent arms.
Well, it's the same with fat loss supplements. It's the same with fat loss supplements, Clen and ephedrine, anything like that. Especially for those that, you know, boost your that euphoric feeling, like... I would have taken ephedrine tablets before. Ephedrine, oh, great, brilliant. But
it's like pharmaceutical grade.
Jesus, it's exactly, there's some crash with it, you know, and you're not told that when you buy it.
No. I always say, you know, what's your motive?
Yeah,
if it's through insecurity, and fuck no. Like, don't, you are on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, your head straight and you're old enough and you're mature enough and you know it's temporary and it's just for a competition, because... Essentially, if you're competing in an open, untested federation, to be on a level playing field, you're going to have to step up to the mark as such. But if someone tries to talk to me, I don't really like talking about it because it's everyone's individual. I just tell them to go to their doctor.
Of course.
Go to your doctor. Exactly. I'm not a fucking pharmacist.
No, exactly. That's,
I'm a PT.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Like, because there's so many other facets of the game that they're missing.
Yes.
Like, they haven't touched upon... volume, they haven't touched upon their training,
nutrition.
Their intensity, the nutrition's not even fucking thought about. Yeah. It's like 10%. Do you know what I mean?
People and straight want the away quick fix.
Exactly.
That's why the fit tees do so well.
That's why the fit tees do so well. You know, it's 100%.
It's and the
that's,
same principle.
And even the likes of what you just spoke about, ephedrine and clenbuterol, like, you're right, that's a stim straight away.
Yeah.
You probably lost in fucking 3 pounds of water overnight with the fucking sweating you're doing.
And maybe it suppresses your appetite, but.
But it's even, and this is going into the supplement world too, the thing that work and sell well in the gym is like a pre-workout, because you know straight away a fucking pre-workout it's working. Boom, there you go.
It's
not like a, you know, any type of supplement like vitamin D. What would you prefer? What's going to be better? Fucking straight away.
Jack 3D.
Remember
that?
That was crazy. Fuck.
Yeah.
What was it? There was a few of those too that we tried back in the day, and they were great. But then, as you say,
crash.
You're dependent upon them,
and they're dependent 100%. And I definitely fell in that trap. I was like.
Animal cuts and stuff like that. There were so many out there. No, so explode.
Will we touch upon the actual training aspect? Like, so what? What's the best program? What's the best program for building muscle tissue?
Right. I'm actually selling this. No,
my 6 week program plus skinny tea.
This program sponsored by
the one, Ripper. Basically, the the one that works best for you fits your lifestyle, the one you can stick to consistently. You know,
cop out.
You're right. in general, but people realize you cannot create. You can create a perfect program for that specific timeline.
Yeah,
your programming is always going to change.
Yeah,
like you're going to do something for so long, your body will adapt. You'll get gains. You know, all the rest. But then you're gonna have to change it up again, or you know.
So what would you see as the biggest mistake in terms of programming? See, whenever you go into the gym, you're watching a young guy, 21, same age as you when you started out, trying to build muscle quick. You know, doing all the big things. What do you see? Is he doing? What's he doing wrong?
Right. Well, we'll take form aside and take all that stuff aside.
Yeah.
Okay. Exercise selection.
Yeah.
Usually, you see guys in the gym, they're just mirror lifters, just want disco muscles. So
right, okay.
Chest, biceps.
So they're doing the small isolation movements.
Isolation movements,
saying?
No
yeah.
compounds. They're afraid of hard. People are afraid of hard work now,
yeah.
like I find, you know, who.
Me
who
too.
Well, not everyone, like obviously.
No.
You know? They just, I don't know, like it's.
I get it. Like
they do too much.
You know what the funny thing is? I'm not blaming anyone for this. Aaron Lambo's definitely one of them, but see the small movements, see the front raise and and you have to twist your arm slightly to really hit the peak of your bicep and all that shit. And I'm like, they're really focusing on that. And, you know, I see them even coaching their friends and going, no, you got to do this to get the proper squeeze. They build,
squeeze.
You know, huge arms and you got it. Man, I'm thinking, you haven't squatted in a year. You haven't done a deadlift. You haven't done any of the big stuff, any of the compounds, and you know exactly how to twist. Now, and I'm not saying that shit's not good. You know, there's obviously a place for it, but
they're seeing the force for the trees.
Exactly,
you know?
Man. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is an issue that I see. But and what would you say, like, if you could tap them and you could say, what would you say? Like, because there's obviously loads of variations. Like, would you say that they're not training a muscle group enough, like,
they overcomplicate
or
it.
People right?
Okay. Always overcomplicate with their process. Keep it simple.
Okay.
You know, people don't believe me when I like, oh, what are you training? Like, what's your training like at the minute? I'm just like, in general, like, sum it up in a few sentences. You know, two working sets all out. 12 to 15 sets a session. 2 days on, 1 day off. Push pull legs. They're like, is that it? What about pyramid sets? What about draft sets? Super sets?
Yeah.
What about occlusion
yeah.
training? I'm like, the fuck I need to do that for? I'm like. I don't need to do that unless I need to do that.
Yeah,
like
you
know, there's a big difference between, you know, MED, minimal effective dose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a law of life. You know, don't do more than we actually need.
Yeah.
If you do something in excess, it's going to be short-lived.
Of
same with your training. You know, this is why I think, like, see the likes of, like, 30-day challenges and all, they're great to get someone into the gym,
yes.
get started.
That's right.
But the person has to realize that is not, it's in the name. 30 days.
It's
like,
a drop in the ocean.
Yeah. You have to kind
of
develop.
Of course, man.
And do something else after that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the answer.
No,
you know?
It is.
So
it isn't. And you know what? And I'm probably going off topic here, which I always do. But I'm like that. I'm like, no, this is a lifestyle thing. We have to do this. But I've started to get into right. How the fuck do I get people started on this? I have to pray on the quick fix. I have to say, you know what? Join this 35-day challenge. But in the 35-day challenge within it, I'm saying, you got to think of this long term. We got to be thinking, what do we do after the challenge? What happens here? You know, but it's a way of getting them in. It's like
in.
A tripwire almost. It's like trying to get them into you, and then you can start getting into their headspace and saying, here's what you actually
need.
Well,
that's the right way to do it. The wrong way to do it is to promote a 30-day challenge and tell people it's the be all end all.
Aye,
yeah,
of course.
And that's what you seem to see a lot in the advertisement side of it. You seem to see a lot of that. And I've been to a few boot camps and even stuff too, where I'm not into it because, as you say, I want something long term that I can do.
Yeah.
If I haven't squatted in a year, I don't want to go in and not be able to walk the next day.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
You know?
Challenge. It's good for a challenge.
Mm.
It's awesome for a challenge.
Yeah.
Fucking fair play. Go do it. All power to you. But don't expect to maintain that.
Yeah. And not everybody's going to be into that. Like as I say myself, I like the way you're talking about. Don't do what you don't need. You know that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's right too.
I would go to you.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I would go to you for PT.
What the fuck do you mean, man?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Check the arms.
Did you wear a shirt to match the foam cover on the mic? Is that what happened?
That's exactly.
You sneaking through the windows last night looking in. I wonder what Justin's got over here. Justin.
Right, so here's the next thing. So you talked a wee bit about frequency there. So how many times a week would you train legs then? Maybe twice a week?
Twice a week.
Right, okay.
I did train them 3 times a week for a good 18 months because I wanted to get them big, like big right, okay. and strong. And
yeah.
I've never seen a person with like someone who has strong legs. I've rarely seen someone who has strong legs who has a weak upper body.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And vice versa happens
yeah.
loads.
Yeah.
Tell me this then. Would you do, would that be squatting 3 times a week? Would that
no.
be big?
No. I always find my knees give me a bit of bother if I back. I don't actually back squat.
Do you not?
No. Right. I do squats.
Well, there'll
squat
be a lot
variations.
Of people out there that'll be in the
similar,
same boat here.
Yeah, like if a bit of slight internal rotation on my shoulders, basically from boxing and kickboxing when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's just very hard to get rid of. And biomechanically, you know, I was just being a bit ignorant at the start with back squats, you know, and it got sore and I was like, what the fuck am I doing this for? So
yeah.
I would do a lot of hack squats, leg press, goblet squats. I love lunges. And, you know, people always look away from hip hinge work for leg development. Your hamstrings are a lot bigger
massively,
than your quads.
I would say that it's a lot of leg extensions, front squats, a lot of kind of quad dominant exercises, even when they're feet positioned and leg press and things they really want to try and attack quads. But you're right.
What they see in the mirror, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose that's true.
I love like a big set of hamstrings. You know, I think it looks cool, like that big sweep.
Aye.
You know, and, you know, a strong posterior chain. I think, you know, if you have a strong posterior chain right from your, you know, calves,
feet up.
You're getting there, but you know, your hamstrings, strong set of glutes, you know, strong back, traps, everything just pulls into place.
Of course, man.
Keeps your posture good too, and helps with lifestyle.
100%.
You know, instead of being keeled over, you know, and I'm
that's
short,
like me.
I'm short enough as it is. I don't want to look any shorter than what I am.
So you're really working this on a height thing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, always. You know,
or shoes you can get for that, you know.
I
see
stults.
Spice Girls.
They're called stilts.
Platforms.
My cousin had a growth spurt when he was 10, and he was like, oh, yours coming soon, yours coming soon. I'm still waiting at the bus stop. So what the fuck is it? I'm still like checking every day. Nope. Still same height. But,
so tell me this then. We'll actually speak a wee bit about the nutrition side of things. I had a couple of questions in through Instagram about nutrition. Actually, some more directed towards pretty much pre and post nutrition and how would you kind of cycle things, or how would you work your nutrition around meal timing, basically?
Okay,
so
let's give the scenario that energy balance is equated and they have their macros sorted. So pre, intra, and post workout.
Yeah,
people overcomplicate this so much.
Yeah,
right. Here's general guidelines. If you get sleepy when you eat carbs, don't have carbs before training.
Okay.
Because there is a slight chance that you're just going to get sleepy and not go training.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Makes fucking
total and
sense.
It might affect your training intensity. So just 100%. Work off like fat and protein.
Yeah.
Okay. Post workout, that's when I tell clients, and you know, I do this myself, if I, you know, for post workout is to have something you really enjoy.
Yeah.
And work in your simple sugars to get recovered quicker. So if you like having like, you know, Cocoa Pops with like chocolate protein milk or something like that, or really whatever you want, like, you know, within relation to your calories and macros, and you're not, as long as you're not eating like a kid, you know, have your simple sugars, some fast acting protein, and then have another meal within a few hours later. Now there's no like anabolic window, you don't have to like, I remember in Queen's PC when I first started training, and there was I remember like getting chased, there was guys beside me having this conversation, they were like, like ran down to get my protein shake out of my locker and drink it like within 10 minutes after training. They're like, oh, what are you going home to eat now, bro? And I was like, oh, seafood. What? There's no gains in seafood and all. I was just like, they're like, what the fuck? I was like, no gains in seafood. You know, some of the myths.
Like, listen, man, it's a massive industry. The supplement industry is huge. Yeah. Like, we just spoke about it.
And Americans,
it is in their best interest to have an anabolic window.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing quick, well, there is faster nutrients you can get.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, they can put it in a powder form, put it in a drink, it's going into your system. They can sell it as this is the fastest way of getting protein in.
Yeah.
And you're an anabolic window there that's only open for a certain amount of time. Get it into you and buy our fucking product.
Yeah.
So it was in their best interest to have an anabolic window. They created it.
So it doesn't exist. Yeah.
It doesn't exist in the way.
Oh, really?
That
right. Okay.
Listen,
see, I didn't
man,
know that.
And even at that, I'm not sure about the exact figures, but whey protein doesn't break down that quickly.
No.
Compared
that,
to fucking other
pea protein and stuff, far better.
I just get it from food.
No, that's it. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, I've gone away from the whole. But then again, I'm not completely focused on.
Yeah.
On muscle building as a priority, but maybe I would get into more supplements if I was. But in terms of whey protein, I think their sales is probably gone down a bit because people are smarter at it.
Yeah.
I think people are getting more tuned into what you know,
the whole anti-milk phase as well too, you know, so people staying away from a lot of stuff.
Like for me, I know myself.
Beef protein's probably on the rise, I would say.
Myself, I know myself, if I have anything with milk or gluten in it, I'm screwed. Like, I swell up.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I've only realized the past couple of years. I'm proper swell out.
Have you only realized since people have been telling you?
Since I got fat?
No. Since the industry has said, if you eat dairy, you're going to swell up.
No, because I was kind of against it. I started noticing that slightly years ago before I'd ever heard anything about it. And I thought, let me try and cut this out for a while. And stopping the milk took away the eczema that I have. What do you say, eczema or eczema?
Eczema.
Depends what part of the country you're from.
But the gluten, yeah. Oh, Jesus. No, I swell completely up. Like, hard to get up, move, go anywhere. Genuinely.
That's not good.
Throat closes off, lungs, everything.
Yeah, if that's happening to you, obviously, you know, you avoid it. Don't do anything. What you're saying about the carbohydrates, if it makes you fucking sleepy, of course, don't be eating before you go into the gym.
When you said simple sugars, what are simple sugars?
Skittles.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, sugar, it's just sugars.
Is that like simple carbs, basically?
Yeah, that's all it is.
All right, complex carbs, like veg and stuff like that.
Yes, in general.
But like pasta and rice, potato, you know, sweet potato. So again, just to answer the question, to recap, if you feel sleepy, you know, after eating carbohydrate before your meal, either add a bit of fat to it
to help with the
insulin response. Yeah. It's not that insulin makes you sleepy or nothing, by the way. Just to save myself there. Work off protein and fat. So let's say it was like, you know, salmon and veg, like something oily, fish or eggs and something else. Then intra workout. Now, if you're having intra workout, don't waste your money on BCAAs. All the research shows it's just a waste of money.
Is it? Yeah, BCAAs are
complete waste of money. Go for EAAs, essential amino acids.
All right, okay.
You know, all the research coming out just completely promotes this. And then, like, if you are having intra workout, EAAs with a carbohydrate drink, so like cyclic dextrin, maltodextrin. Personally, I use maltodextrin. Cyclic dextrin is extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. And I have a lot of calories taken in a day.
Yeah.
And I just, I can't justify. Because I'm not competing, 100%. So I'm not going to.
No, why the fuck would
and
you?
And I find maltodextrin sits me okay.
What's the difference in uptick? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get a wee bit of bloat, but I'm like, so what? I'm training.
Exactly.
What about stuff like glutamine? Has that been blown up as well?
There's a lot of claims to glutamine, you know. But
in terms of even inflammation and
gut health and stuff.
Yeah,
it may help, but like muscle building, like if you're
inflammation,
your
really?
Goal, yeah.
Right. See, I was just going to say, because I would have noticed a big difference in, because I sing, I play guitar and sing, so my voice would swell up when I would have gluten and stuff, but I noticed when I was beating that into me, and I didn't know what was going on, that I definitely felt a difference.
Yeah,
definitely, and it wasn't in my head.
Possibly.
With like some inflammation. But again, supplements are just percentile difference.
Of course.
You know, so if I was to have intra-workout, say EAAs with a carbohydrate drink, I would start drinking that slightly before I start training.
Right,
so, you know, Milos Sarkev calls it empty blood.
Yeah,
so when your blood sugars are kind of dropped down.
Yeah.
So by the time I actually get a pump, the essential amino acids and the carbohydrates have actually passed from my gut into my blood when I'm getting the pump.
Okay.
So it's already fueling the muscle when I'm training. Okay. And then after training, I've already had essential amino acids and carbohydrates. I don't have to eat for a while. Like my muscles are already fed.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually don't, like people think, sometimes I don't eat for like 3 hours after training. Sometimes I have no appetite just because I feel sick.
And that's that anabolic window that everyone talks about, isn't it?
You're not replenishing all the lost glycogen, sir.
I know, yeah.
You're completely depleted after one workout.
Yeah, so I chill for a while. And I get sleepy after my post-workout meal because it's quite high in carbs. So I'll train and then go do some work. Maybe when I've like actually a clear mind, I'll get like some laptop work done and then...
Cool. And let me touch upon this because we didn't even do it in terms of nutrition. Here's the biggest thing, calorie intake, like in terms of your overall calorie intake, not even breaking down into macros or nothing else.
Yeah.
Muscle building, what do you need to do?
Be in a calorie surplus.
Yeah. So basically that was one thing we didn't say. And with the calorie surplus, what do we get? We get obviously muscle gain and
fat gain.
Yeah. So we get the both. So it is something that people need to look out for in terms of when they're starting off their journey or they're even getting a sticking point. There has to be a calorie surplus there in order to build muscle. at the very start of your journey, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
Let's not even get into that. Yeah. Mind you should just fucking eat, is what we're saying. And just what is your calorie intake? Just for the
like
people,
you know,
listening?
I actually don't track. Okay. Now, when I say I don't track, I don't actually use my fitness pal or
but
anything.
You're still tracking your
mind. I'm still tracking my mind, you know. So I have three solid meals a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a training day, they're 1,500 calories a meal.
Right.
So there's 4,500. And then, like, you know, my intro workout and then a few snacks. I'm taking in around 5,000 calories a day on a training day. Rest day, it's literally the same without the snacks and without the intro workout. So
okay.
It's
so you're probably about
4,000 minimum a day.
What? Sorry? What?
Yeah, I know.
What'd you say?
Yeah, like, so.
Did you say 4,000? Like, twice the.
Recommended.
Yeah, yeah. So my BMI, I'm obese. Wow. You know, my BMI, I'm like morbidly obese. I shouldn't be here.
Wow. I didn't expect you know? That number to come out.
Yeah.
So I was expecting like 2,800 or something.
Now, don't get me wrong. When I was a smaller guy, you know, like nearly half what I was now.
Didn't need as much calories.
Jesus, like 2,000 or 2,250 or 2,400 was a lot for me back then. Now it's like breakfast, you know, with a snack, you know, because you know, there's days where I've only had, like, say, 2,400 because of a busy day, and I feel exhausted. My blood sugars are low. I can't concentrate. I need to get home, and I need something to eat. You know, so
what do you think of that then?
It's excellent. I'm learning stuff over here. It's great.
But what do you think of the actual number? Like, what do you have in your head? What do you reckon your calorie intake is? Have you any idea?
Yeah, I would have an idea. Well, I'm dropping weight at the minute from what I was, so. Yeah. And that's just a conscious choice to do so.
Okay.
Turn into things like tuna instead of pizza and stuff, which if the gluten-free thing's done anything for me, it's get me off of bread and shitty carbs that I shouldn't be eating. So, I would say I'd be around the 2,000 mark at the minute. Definitely.
Right.
I'm dropping. I am dropping. But
so you reckon if you ate that type of diet that it would be massive weight gain?
Without training the way he is, absolutely, 100%.
It's hard to see it from a general pop's perspective where they're at when they that's it. And everybody's different in terms of even their physical activity for the day. Like, obviously, you know, you're a singer, you probably lead quite a sedentary lifestyle in terms of personal trainers. What I've found is they're usually fucking really active.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm doing this on a step counter. I'm doing this when they come back and show me their Fitbit. They're going to hit around 20,000 plus steps a day, where a normal person, your average guy in the office or it's in a sedentary job is probably struggling to get 4,000 or 5,000. So trying to build up a calorie surplus even around that is difficult. You know, it's difficult. Really.
Yes.
And so when you started, how did you find your kind of sweet spot? How did you gauge?
When I started?
Well, through time then, how did you gauge to see what brought you to 5,000 calories?
Gradual increase. So obviously, you don't just bulk bulk forever. That's the dream, but
that's
you can't
it.
Do that.
No, that's it.
So, you know, you go through a gaining phase. You want maximal muscle gain, minimal fat gain, but you do gain fat over time. So after a while, you have to, let's dial things in a bit.
So that's why people are seeing that cutting and bulking phase,
so people
are aware what the process is and how he's gotten to that. He didn't just all of a sudden start eating 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
He gradually added them. Yeah,
and gradually
added
worked
them.
Up.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's 100%. And I remember seeing... Is it Michael Phelps' diet?
That's crazy. Look,
Olympic
9,
diet. Was 20? Was it 10,000? I thought he got up around 20 or something.
That's
at one stage.
That,
maybe
I couldn't imagine anyone eating 20,000 calories.
Just going by pure memory from about 10 years ago reading it. But geez, it was
that's
mental.
Crazy, like,
you know, and the size of him. You know,
I would say everybody's appetite's massively different. And here's something you might see from my mistakes that I made, especially with show prep, was the cheat meals. I would give someone a diet plan, work it out calories wise, and then give them a day, or sorry, not even a day, usually just a massive cheat meal. But what happened was there was no regulations on the cheat meal.
Yeah.
And I had one client that would come back, and I'll tell you what, I'll fucking name. If I said to Ben O'Connor to go out and get a fucking cheat meal, I know that cheat meal is going to be about 900 calories to 1,000. It doesn't
keep everything tight.
He doesn't eat a lot when he sits down to eat, you know. If I said to Niall Doherty to go out and get a cheap meal, I'm pretty sure he's come back with 6,000 calories fucking nailed
I would,
down.
Yeah.
Nailed
I definitely
down,
would.
Man.
Yeah.
And that always fucked up. Meaning, I was like, I always lost my way in terms of tracking and progress. I was like, how has he not lost this week?
Yeah.
you know, what has happened there? Yeah.
And see, I can't do cheat meals. I can't do them.
No.
I can't do them.
Think of the term cheat meal. I don't like the term cheat meal.
No, I don't either. No,
it puts me. It's dishonesty. And, you know,
exactly.
It feels like guilt.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's totally.
If you feel guilt. I had.
Sorry, I shouldn't have used that, but that's what I used back in the day.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Like, I know what you mean, but
exactly. Of course.
You know, if you want a pizza, have a pizza. Just don't take the piss.
Yeah.
See, I will though. I binge badly. Like,
yeah,
I will.
That's a trigger food for you then.
Yeah. So that's something else going on there that you need to correct. But you're right. Flexible dieting is fucking.
If you do it right, it's good.
100%, man.
But people, the other end of the spectrum of flexible dieting is
what he's just said. Is having that flexibility is quite tough.
Where you eat like a kid and you wonder why you're always in the doctor's or you're always sick.
Yeah.
You know, the people just focus on the numbers. Oh, I'm within my macros today. Yeah, but you had Cocoa Pops for breakfast, then you had pizza, then you had a McDonald's, then you had a Chinese.
See what I've done with especially the 35-day challenge thing and all that crap is trying to get them to understand overall calorie intake first. Yes. Start taking it in stages where they understand what they're eating.
Yeah.
You know, they're starting to have accountability with recording stuff and then start going, like, hold on now. We actually can't eat Haagen-Dazs all day. You know what I mean? Even though it's fitting your fucking macro.
Yes.
Or it's fitting your calories. So we can't do it. So we start generally trying to up it a bit and bring small steps in so they don't get overwhelmed and go, fuck this shit, I can't do this. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, back to the muscle building, the hypertrophy aspect of it. The program we've chatted about, we've touched upon nutrition, we've touched a wee bit on supplements. We have actually had questions in on booze and, you know, how does it affect muscle building? And I kind of spoke to you before we started saying, I seen Love Island, Jesus, strike me down now. I seen Love Island yesterday because Zena was watching it and the guys were drinking. They're all in great shape and, you know, it's putting out probably that message, you know, you can't drink and do that. And I know it can be done, but I'm thinking, how the fuck are they doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it's boggling my mind, you know, a lot of people be thinking the same. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, let's think of a casual drink in this country is fucking 10 glasses of vodka before you go out, you know, so there's where you're losing already.
Uh-huh.
So I'll put this relation to my clients.
Go ahead.
If they want to have a few drinks, I'm like, right, but be a bit proactive with what you choose to drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, a Slimline gin and tonic is what, like 70 calories?
Yeah,
and around that, you know, go for a light beer or go for a bottle of beer instead of a pint.
Yeah.
You know, you're cutting your caloric intake way down. And then even at the end of the night out, don't go to the kebab shop. That's where the damage is done. So in regards to fat loss, you know, or fat gain, alcohol can indirectly cause fat gain. I know it's 7 calories a gram. It's quite high, but it's the cravings afterwards and, you know, the next day and people overeat. Okay.
Well, I always felt it was the losing your inhibitions completely and any
absolutely.
Type of plan that you had in your fucking head just goes completely out the window.
Even
because
the next week is just,
and completely. It's the recovery process is a.
And then the older I've gotten, the longer it takes to recover, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
that's why I don't drink anymore. I just don't.
Same.
I don't like it. I don't actually.
Well,
I
fucking rightly or wrongly prioritized work firstly and family as well. Not firstly and saying that sounds bad. Don't leave me, Zena. But you know what, man? I always thought, well, if I drink, I'm going to be hazy next day, brain fog, not going to be in work mode. And that always put me off wanting to fucking. But now, this is the thing, I have a celebration tomorrow because the baby's been born. And I always say, no matter what, celebrate the good stuff, like, and I'm going to go out, and if I want to get drunk and this is what happens, then that's what's going to happen. It's
congratulations,
simple,
by the way.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
But I completely agree. If you want to have a drink, you know, 100% go for it, like, you know, but everything, and of course, you
moderation.
Know yourself in moderation.
Yeah.
I just, you know, personally, cost a benefit to me. And you know, like, it's something that's not talked about. It's like the mental health aspect.
100%.
You know, it sends me into complete depression.
Yeah,
like, ruins me.
What
you know?
Drunk.
Oh, same as that.
I
can't go to the gym. If I could be going to the gym for 3 months, and then I'll go out and get pissed one night.
Yeah.
That's me. I know I'm not going to the gym.
No, I mean,
I fight myself for weeks to get back. Oh, yeah.
Away from the world.
The horrors, like, you know.
Yeah.
But it just triggers that in me. So I just personally, like, no one ever talks about it. So I don't care. Like, I'll talk about it, but I just stay away from it. I enjoy myself through different ways. Like, you know, so I'd rather go to the cinema and just eat. I just love food.
I like food.
This is why I bodybuild.
I like dumbbell. I like food.
Yeah.
You're going to build muscle off that.
I like,
you know what I mean? That's
of food.
Fucking perfect.
That's, it,
that's the perfect scenario.
Yeah. Being strong, eating lots of food.
Another couple of things I wanted to talk about is rest and recovery. We kind of touched upon it with your training modality and what way you're...
So with muscle gain, a muscle will only grow if it's able to recover.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you know, before you hit a muscle again, that it's actually recovered from your previous session, or you're just going to stay catabolic. You know, right. That actual muscle is never going to recover. It's going to break it down and down. And it's not going to waste away as such, but you're going to burn out.
Right, okay.
And you're going to get a higher chance of injury,
yeah,
and everything else. So, you know, it usually takes a muscle about 48 hours to fully recover from, you know, 48 to 72, depending on the volume and how hard you trained it, to fully recover from a bout of exercise, so resistance training.
Can I jump in there, actually, because I have a question. When you talk about that, so I've heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true. Maybe you guys can help me. So I'm assuming that when you're still rebuilding the muscle, you're still burning calories. Is that correct?
You're always burning calories.
But specifically on those muscles you burn, would you be more and more calories trying to repair those muscles?
Well, loosely, yes, but again, never think of calorie expenditure in one specific area. Just think of it as net.
Yeah, what you're saying is that you've tore the muscle down, they rebuild the muscle, takes more calories than what you would usually use.
Yes, yes.
Right, I get that. The energy taken to build the muscle back up is obviously increasing the amount of energy that you're burning that
absolutely,
day.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I lost now. I just got taken back there.
So basically, what he's saying is, once you've trained a muscle, and you've done legs,
it's recovered and repaired.
Go
again.
Yeah.
So
he's not even talking from a glycogen aspect. He's talking about the micro traumas caused through
the muscle
training.
Fibers and everything. Okay.
Basically, repair, growth, and repair.
Okay. So once they're recovered and repaired, you can go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all training is a stimulus to cause an adaptation. So, you know, that's all you need to do. You just need to literally apply a stimulus where, in layman's terms, your body's going to be like, oh, fuck. Let's rebuild this. We need to get stronger. We need to build more muscle to cope with this.
Similar to a scar, isn't it?
Yeah, that's literally what it is. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's literally what it is. You know,
it is micro traumas, I think it's described as
scar tissue in your muscle. When you break a muscle down, it builds back thicker and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, strength is more central nervous system related, but it'll build back generally thicker and stronger. Now, there is a thing, you know, muscle soreness. Now, if you're constantly, you know, sore after training, and then you go, you know, maybe you should look at the amount of volume you're doing, the amount of calories you're taking in, how much sleep you're getting, even stress management, to see that you can actually recover from your training.
Yeah.
But let's say you had all that on point, and you train like heavy legs on Monday, and you have to do them again on Thursday, and you were still sore. Technically, your muscle can be fully recovered, but there can still be lactic acid in there.
Okay.
You know, that gives that feeling of pain. So technically you're recovered and you can still train again.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, if I'm sore, but if I don't feel like there's no mobility issues and I feel good, if I know it's just a bit of muscle soreness, I'll go train that muscle again.
We were always, years ago, it was always said, like, if you've got DOMS or your muscles are sore, there's no point in training it again, because what you're going to do is lead to massive overtraining, and you're going to do this and go catabolic, all this bad things, inflammation is going to go through the roof. And it has been more recently that they've said that what you've just said is, it's actually, no, there's still...
Really? Yeah. I didn't
there's
know that
other
either.
Signs of overtraining, which, well...
They're more qualitative, aren't they, rather than actual numbers? So your body will tell you.
Yeah.
Like Luke Lehman, I think, said this. He's like, you know, listen to your body when it's talking to you, or you'll have to listen to it when it's screaming at you.
Yeah, yeah. Probably signs of stress, really, more than anything, isn't
it? Yeah, stress a killer. You know, your body, it will focus more on, you know, on that side of things rather than recover. Like, recovering from muscle breakdown isn't a priority for your body. Your body doesn't give a shit about your goals.
Yeah.
Mm. If it comes to fat loss or build muscle, it doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's there to survive. So if there's something else going on, it's going to focus on that rather than actually recovering. So this is why, you know, I say to clients, you know, stress management is such a massive thing. You know, chill the fuck out. You know, like, you know, if you find that, you know, if the training is actually stressing you out as well, step back.
Yeah.
You know, cut down your volume. Like, you know, let's say I had a client in who was... ran his own business and it was going through a few issues. Mm-hmm. I would cut his volume down and cut his sessions down a bit so he could still recover.
Yeah, because he is in a high
stress. Exactly. I would be like, right, take it easy for a while.
But we'll touch on this, the personal training has changed so much. You're not just someone that comes in and drives someone through a fucking session and says bye-bye to them at the door.
Yeah.
Like, everyone there's a lot of mindset stuff. There's a lot of lifestyle stuff. It's so deep in terms of when they leave, they still want loads of information afterwards and how to manage their life, how to do. And man, you're not even a counselor, but you do guide people. You are a leader. Yeah. You are an influencer. And an influencer's got a fucking bad name now, but you're an influencer in their life. Like, 100%. You're a coach. Like, and that's
it's a lot of responsibility.
100%. But it's the whole dynamic of personal training has changed. And just when you said
since
that,
when you started to now, it's mad difference.
And you know what? You could get lost in it very quickly. And even the rate that it's changing in terms of online coaching and everything else. I mean,
Well, I trained 10 years ago, you know, and everything that I knew is being changed today.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know,
it's like spot reduction in the 80s. Yes. You know what I mean? It's like how that changed. That's how I feel today.
Yeah.
I'm getting a big wake-up call.
I always say they put new personal trainers at ease. Even the people at the top of their game, the information they were giving out 5 years ago, they're probably looking back and cringing it. You know what I mean? They're probably going, fuck sake. And that's the people that you're looking up to now. They're going, oh, I can't believe I said that. And I pity my clients fucking 5 or 6 years ago, by the way, because I put you through hell.
You could flip that on its head and be like, well, if you still thought the same, you're not learning anything.
No, 100%. Yeah, you know? But just the fact that they don't have to be self-conscious about not knowing enough and inadequate feeling, oh, fuck, I don't know as much as this guy knows or as much as Aaron knows and I can't be a personal trainer. You know, be wary that it's changing constantly.
Yeah, Susan down the road doesn't give a shit about hypertrophy.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't give a fuck. And if you try and explain it to her, she is just going to get lost.
I feel like Susan.
She's just going to go and buy some skinny tea and get fucking ripped.
Skinny tea and the buy, sell and swap on
I know why. Oh Jesus, man.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I know why. I'm a funny guy.
I had a good laugh at that.
Do you know what? It was a nice way of venting. I find even a fucking podcast I enjoy because I don't feel like it's work. And if I want to do a video on social media and I'm only put a rant up about something I've fucking seen, like, I don't mind doing it. It lets me get out and have a bit of crack.
Well, it shows you're genuine too.
Oh, don't
people are afraid that. People are afraid to
have an opinion.
People are afraid to offend. Like, you know, don't give an opinion if you're afraid to be in the fight or the arguments. Like, but constructive arguments. I don't mean like being a dick. I mean, saying, you know, people are charlatans for promoting fit.
There's definitely been times that I've been a dick online. Like, I can fucking admit to that.
I can fight for that too. But for me, not for you.
If something attacks, you know, values or whatever, then I'll definitely be a dick.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I know how to go at them. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But, again, it shows you give a shit though.
I'll always be myself. Like, I'll
say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. So
it's not good. Like, that's not, you know, and that's a confidence thing that fucking we all work on through time. Like, and I'm still working on it, even though
you're working on confidence.
I know.
Are you
more confident?
If you tense more, I think you will.
I've been sitting here the whole time, man, holding my breath, squeezing. I hope Aaron notices my biceps got bigger. Anyway, I know we have a few more questions, but you know what? I think, what time are we on there now?
54 minutes.
Right, I think, nearly. Fuck me, we need to wrap this up. Because there's no editing.
That flew in.
No, it's good. Yeah. I've enjoyed this as well.
Yeah, good. Well, guys, if you have any questions for Aaron, you can find them on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, so my Facebook's just AON Fitness, and my Instagram is AON_fitness_.
Cool. And first time you think about, you know, when you hear AON now, you're going to be thinking Man United tops. And then Aaron and Ian secondly.
I'm a Liverpool fan.
Oh. No, anyway, Aaron, I really appreciate you coming on the show. We're going to grab some coffee now and some buns. I mean, because it's their anabolic window, we're going to eat some buns and be happy.
I have a question for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Noel,
right. What's the capital of Madagascar?
Right. It's Christmas, right? You haven't said anything about Christmas. I'm a little annoyed about that. Just saying. just wondering if you named your baby Jesus, because I think it would have been appropriate.
Jesus Smith?
Yeah, Jesus Smith. That's exactly
Jesus
right.
Smith. You know what? I would do that.
And when can we get the baby on the podcast?
I'll tell you, man, you could have had him last night when about 3:30 in the morning when he was fucking screaming at me. No, he was named Leon, which is Noel back the front. See what I've done?
That's good. Is that really his name? Yeah.
Yeah, Leon.
That's classy. Yeah.
Leon Jesus Smith. But anyway, we'll wrap it up at that. And we might even be back for another podcast before Christmas. We'll see how we get on. And hopefully at that stage, Seamus might be back. Maybe we might not want
Fuck
him back.
Seamus.
We might not want him back. Fuck. You know what I mean? We've got the team.
I've got
here.
The new spot now.
Yeah. And plus, Seamus you've got an American accent, man.
Exactly.
Which is
I have
more,
one.
It's more relevant.
I used to be American.
Pure American, hey.
I'm home now.
Right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And yeah, we'll be back soon enough for another one. Aaron, thanks again for coming, bud.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Elevate.